in the honor and of the reading of the Word of God. And this is what it says in John chapter 9, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So a second time they called the man whom had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as far as this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of the time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, that you are the Lion from the tribe of Judah. And you are also the Lamb at the same time. We praise you, God, for what you've done for us. Father, forgive us where we failed you this week. Father, forgive us for the things that we did that are not honoring you. Father, forgive us for the things that we should have done and the things we shouldn't have done. And Father, just help us today to focus in on you, to hear from your Spirit, and allow your Spirit to speak to the hearts of those that are gathered here today. Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for who you are. For it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have told you in the past, and I'll say it again, if God lays something on your heart and you know that this is what God wants you to do, you come to me and we'll talk about it, and I'll fund it, I'll fuel it, I'll figure it out for you. And so we had a young man during the week. He went washed his car, and he was thinking about, as he was doing that, the Lord impressed upon him that we needed to have a car wash so that we can bring school supplies to the kids that are in need. So we're identifying, trying to identify some families. And so this coming Saturday from 8 to 2, right here at Bellevue, I'm assuming, we're going to have a car wash. So you come and get your car washed. You come and participate. We're going to need a lot of help. We're going to need a lot of hands on deck. So all you young folks, come out and help us. And the goal is to raise some money so that we can help families that are in need for our school supplies or uniforms or whatever the case may be. And so you just pray that God would direct us to those that are in need and those that need that, and we'll continue to minister to the people in our community. So we look at chapter 9 of John. And so if you were here last week, you know that Jesus healed this blind man. And so we continue the narrative. We went through verses 1 through 12, and we find this blind man, and he has been healed. And so what happens is that the Pharisees start an investigation. Now, I don't know about you, but my wife and I love the fact that you can stream a series on your TV these days. And so we tend to watch series, and I love it because you can watch one episode to the next episode to the next episode, and you ain't got to wait till next week. Remember that? To be continued. Man, if you can remember that, you know something. Because we used to watch these series on TV, and then somewhere's in there they go, to be continued, and you just had to wait till the next week. Well, now all you got to do is push the button. You get to go to the next episode. So in that, my wife and I like to watch crime-type shows, police shows, all those things. And usually if the series goes real long, then it kind of gets ridiculous, and then I kind of check out. But they have these detectives, and they come in, and they're doing this investigation. And that's what the scene is here for the Pharisees. They're investigating this guy, and they're trying to find out what's going on because they've never seen this before. And so in that Pharisee's investigation, we see this. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I see. They question the former blind man because he's not blind anymore. Now he can see. So later on in the sermon, you'll see that I refer to him as the seeing man because he's no longer blind. But that's how he was known. This wasn't somebody that wasn't known. This guy had been blind all his life. He was an adult. And so they go in to question him. And so if you've ever seen some of these crime scenes, you know, and the investigators come in and they do, you know, bad cop, good cop and all the things. They investigate, and they want to get down to the truth, and they want to solve the crime. And so the Pharisees are doing this investigation, and so they start with all this questioning. And they question the former blind man. Actually, if you look at the verses, it says they asked him again because they had already previously asked him, and then they asked him again, and then later on in the verses that we just read, they ask him a third time. And this is what we see next. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was division among them. And this is what we see. They condemned Jesus as a sinner and not from God. Why? Because he was working on the Sabbath, and they considered that to be something that was violated the law. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But they condemned him for doing God's work. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get misjudged, don't we? There was a time when I was at First Baptist Moss Bluff, and I was leading I was leading mission trips. And the criticism that came was, oh, all you guys do is go on a vacation. Vacation, Charlie, Huey, Miranda, who else is in here? Tanya, but she's not here today. It's not a vacation. You know what I tell those people? Hey, come get you some. Come with me for 10 days down in the Amazon and we'll see. Where you're hanging your hammock on somebody's back porch with a bug net. And guess what? If you don't zip that bug net up, there are roaches that get inside your hammock. Now, I'm deathly afraid of roaches. I don't even know. God has a sense of humor. I'm afraid of all these bugs. And I'm down in South America, down in the Amazon, living with the bugs. They're everywhere. All kinds of things. Yeah, tarantulas. But that's in Suriname. They got other kind of stuff in the Amazon. Come get you some of that. So there was a roach inside, and Cletus Dugas. Yeah, he's from Lake Arthur. And Cletus is laughing his head off at a man who's trying to get a roach out of a hammock. True story. Come get you some if you think that's a vacation. Sometimes we get condemned. Sometimes we get judged. And they judged Jesus as a sinner and said he was not from God. If they would really know who they were talking about, they'd understand that he is God, by the way. Amen? If you read the Baptist Faith and Message, if you read what our doctrines say about salvation and about God, you'll find out that we believe in one God. He's one. He is God the Father, he is God the Son, and he is God the Holy Spirit. All at the same time, simultaneously. Do I understand that? No. But do I believe that? Absolutely. Because I'm staking my very eternal life on that fact. And so are you if you're a believer. And they condemned him as a sinner and said, no way could he be from God. And the truth of the matter is, he is God. He was 100% man and he was 100% God all at the same time, simultaneously. Next we see this. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. Jesus broke the law. That's what their investigation showed. But he didn't break the law. Before, in the Gospel of John, as we read through, they already accused him of breaking the law, and he wasn't breaking the law. Because he was sinless. And they couldn't see it. Because they were so concerned with what the law said. Versus what God said. What better day to receive salvation than on Sunday? What better day to heal somebody and minister to them on a Sunday? You ever driving by somebody and they're broke down on the side of the road and you just blow by them? Or occasionally, God bless you, you pass by somebody and you stop and you give them a hand because God sent you there to help them. And it doesn't matter what day it is. And it doesn't matter if you're late to church or you don't even make it to church. If you're telling somebody about Jesus and you're ministering to them and you're building a relationship with them and it conflicts with our service time at 11 o'clock, so be it. Amen. They thought he had broke the law, but in reality, he wrote the law. In reality, what the Bible says is he fulfilled the law. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And so, because he broke the law, there's no way that he's from God, and there's no way that he can do a miracle. And it's sitting right there in front of them. There's no dispute. Their investigation revealed exactly what it should have. That this man got healed. But it happened on the Sabbath. You think that guy cared? You think that he was like, oh, you know what, God? You know what, Jesus? I'm not going to do this today because it's the Sabbath. I'm going to wait till tomorrow and go wash. It doesn't work that way. He said, hey, go wash. And the man went and washed. It's not the way that Jesus healed everybody that was blind, but he did on that one. And that's the way he chose to heal him. That guy didn't care if it was the Sabbath or not. He had never seen anything in his entire life. Can you imagine? Broke the law. He don't care. But the reality is that he didn't break the law. Because they all knew that if their ox fell in the ditch, they're going to go get that out and save that animal. It's not work. It's not the intent of that law. And they missed it. Not only that, we see this. They were intimidating. These guys were super, super intimidating. It says this. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet. The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who received his sight and questioned them, saying, 'Is this your son whom you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?'" Man, these guys were intimidated. They had questions and they wanted answers. And they were relentless. They pursued the blind man three times, they asked him. We'll see the third time coming up. They'd already questioned him twice. And he had already told them exactly what transpired. But they still had questions because they couldn't believe what they saw with their own eyes. The man was blind, born that way. And they still wanted answers. They missed it. Not only that, we see this. His parents answered them and said, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, or who opened his eyes we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, and he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. They used intimidation to create fear. It's one of the things that the enemy does to us. In Sunday school, Charlie was teaching the lesson. And in that, he asked, "Hey, have you ever been asked to do something from God and it's outside of your comfort zone?" It's intimidating. You know why? Because that's what the enemy says. And he tries to create fear so that you don't do what God says to do. It's intimidating. That's what the enemy does. I can remember the first time that my pastor, Brother Charlie Grigsby, he's the son-in-law to Dr. Gray Allison, if you happen to know that name. He was a seminary professor in New Orleans, and he started street ministry in the seminary. If you take his evangelism class and you go there, Dusty or Chris, and you were part of that seminary, he taught evangelism class, and guess what he did? He made those guys go out and stand on the street corners and tell people about Jesus. At that time, the SBC was had to make a decision. We're the only mainline denomination that started down a liberal path and reversed and went conservative. The only mainline denomination to do that. And so Dr. Gray Allison knew that the SBC was putting in liberal teachers and professors and boards and all the things that happened in the Baptist world. And the Lord laid it upon his heart to start a seminary. He went to South Haven, Mississippi, right on the border of Memphis, Tennessee, and he planted Mid-America Seminary. I say all that to say this. Brother Charlie got a call, and he was going to go to the country of Moldova. It used to be controlled by the Romanians, and then it was controlled by the USSR and Russia and all the things. And when the Berlin Wall went down, they had revival there in that country. And they had a mother church, and they were planting churches all over the place. They invited 25 pastors, and my pastor was one of them. I'm getting to the point. Just bear with me. I know I probably put in way too many details, but I am who I am. And so he asked my best friend at the time, Mike Pierce. Now, Mike is a big dude. He's about 6'3". He wears these cowboy boots, and he's got silver tips on the toe and silver on the back. Big Mike Parrish, 6'3", and he's from Vernon Parish, where the Dare Queen is. That's Mike. That's exactly how he talked. And Mike got asked to go on the trip. Now, Mike is a kidney transplant recipient, And so he had all these rejection meds he was taking. He had to go talk to the doctor, all the things, because he has to protect the kidney. When they did his kidney transplant, they actually put it in front. His kidney was in front of his body when he got this transplant. And so we kept praying about it. And man, God just kept opening all the doors, and the doctor cleared him. And so, man, we had conversation after conversation after conversation. And then the Lord threw me a curveball, because my pastor said, "Hey, do you want to come?" I was like, "What? Are you out of your mind?" And I started praying about it. Now, remember it like it was yesterday. This is 1995, by the way, but it feels like yesterday. And so I was running all the things. I got two small kids. My son had just been born in 93. He was 2 years old. My daughter was 7. My wife was teaching. And I'm going to go to Moldova. And I was scared to death, because the enemy had inflicted, by intimidation, fear. I went to work that day, and I got up on the come through Westlake. That's how I developed a heart for Westlake, by the way, because I passed through the city every single day going to work. And if you don't know about getting on the interstate, when off of the I-10 bridge right there where you get on I-10, there are 18-wheelers that blow by you if you're not paying attention. Blow by you. And so you get on that ramp right there, and as I got on that ramp, here comes one of those 18-wheelers. About the time I was going to move into the lane, shoo, he passes by. And immediately, this is what the Lord told me. "Hey, bud, I can take you out right here if I want to. I just made sure that that 18-wheeler didn't roll over the top of you. I can take you out here, or I can take you out in Moldova." That's what he said. I called my pastor. I'm in. Intimidation comes from the enemy, not from God. Oh, conviction comes from God. That's a whole nother story for another day. But he tries to create fear so that you don't do what God wants you to do. They used intimidation on the parents to create fear. And that's what the enemy does. What's the enemy whispering in your ear when God's calling you to do something? Is he telling you that you're inadequate? Is he telling you that you got a past and you can't be used? Is he telling you that you're not worthy? What's he telling you? And what's the source? Because if there's fear, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. It's a great tactic that he uses, and it works over and over and over again. But not in this case. Let's continue. They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses." And they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" So they put him out. That's how they worked. They blackballed him. They insulted him. That's what that word reviled means. They came against him, and they rejected the former blind man, the guy who received his sight, a miracle that God could only do. No one had ever been born blind, had ever been healed. That was the purpose of this guy being made that way, by the way. So God could demonstrate that he had power over everything. He was born blind, and nobody had ever been healed that was born blind except now, and Jesus did that. It couldn't have been any clearer. But they insulted him, and they rejected him. And that's terrible. And it happens even in our churches. That's not what we're about here. Amen? Absolutely not. You have a place and a purpose if you're a member of this church. We're just getting started. 14 youth showed up, and nearly every one of them showed up to BVS to help work. And they never complained. They worked hard. They did whatever was asked of them. We didn't insult them, and we don't reject them. And it goes for anybody that's here today. We're not going to insult you, and we're not going to reject you. We're going to welcome you, and we're going to see how God wants to use you here at Bellevue. There's a great big vision that's out there, by the way, and we're just getting started. Buckle up. None of that, see this. The seeing man's insight. He's formerly blind, but now he's the seeing man. He's not the blind man anymore. God changed him. And the man answered and said to them, "Well, it is an amazing thing that you don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes." Man, he's hammering the Pharisees. They're supposed to be the know-it-alls. They're the ones that know all the law. They're the ones that know all the prophecy. They're the ones that were educated and supposed to be teaching everybody else. And they don't even know where Jesus is from. They don't realize that he is from heaven itself that he created. And he goes, "You don't know where he's from, yet I see." That was the most convincing argument that he had. Hey, I was blind, but I see now. I don't know if this guy's a sinner or not, but I can tell you and I can testify, I was blind, but now I see. And guess what? He followed Jesus, by the way, because if you look in that scripture, you'll see that he declares that he is a disciple and he wants to know if they want to be disciples as well. They don't know where he's from. That's what the seeing man said. He said, "Yet I see." Not only that, we see this. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Keep that scripture. Go ahead, do the point. God hears the obedient, not the sinners. Go back to that scripture. It's super important that we understand this. When you look at the word hear, there's different, it's not just physically listening. What it means is, does God physically hear everything that's said in the whole entire world? Absolutely. But that word here is an action word. And what it means is that God is going to take action. He hears what his children say. The very first prayer that God ever heard from you was the day of your salvation. Because he answered that prayer. "God, please forgive me of my sins. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. Amen." The salvation prayer can be that simple, but it's life-changing. And it's the first prayer that God hears you say because he takes action and he saves you. He answered your prayer. We're not born children of God. We're not born as a Christian ever. I hear that all the time. "Oh, I've been a Christian all my life." No, you haven't. It's not what Scripture says. The enemy's lying to you. But it says if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, God's will, he hears him. When you're acting in the center of God's will and you're praying a prayer, God answers that prayer. He takes action. None of that, we see this. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The seeing man understood that this was absolutely from God, because only God can heal lifelong blindness. Nobody else could heal that. What is a miracle? It's something that only God can do. Only God. And only God could heal this blind man who was born that way. It was no accident. God created him exactly how he wanted him to be. And it's important for us to understand that. Because you know what the enemy attacks us about? Our self-worth. Our image. That's what he attacks us on. only God can heal lifelong blindness. And guess what? Only God can save someone. We ain't got nothing to do with salvation except bring the message. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do that work. And this guy understood so many deep things about God. And only God could heal this blind man. And now he's just testifying about everywhere he goes. He don't care if he was kicked out of the synagogue. He's still going to tell people about what God did for him. Man, I was born blind. My point is that God created him that way on purpose. And God is absolutely perfect. He never makes a mistake. And when he creates somebody, he creates them to be his masterpiece. And so we have the enemy telling us, well, you don't look good enough physically. You don't like some of the features that you have. You need to talk to God. Because that's how he made you. And he made you perfect. And you don't have to change yourself. You don't have to take it upon yourself to fix what you think God did wrong. He is perfect. And what we believe about God is directly in relationship to what we believe about the Bible. And what we believe about the Bible is in direct relationship of what we believe about God. Those two go hand in hand. The enemy will tell you that you can't do something for God. I don't know what God's telling you to do, but I hope that you're listening to him. And I hope that you're going to be like this guy and be obedient. He couldn't keep quiet about what God had done for him. Amen? If God has reached down and saved your soul, we ought to be shouting it from the rooftop. Amen? He changed my life. I've never been the same. Because he brought me to life. Because I was dead. I was lost. I had no clue. But God opened up my eyes. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? He's opened your eyes. And he changed you. And guess what? He wants to use you. Be obedient to that. What God lays on your heart, you let me know. Amen. God's doing all sorts of work all the way around us. It was an amazing week in VBS. It's the proudest time that I love to say that I'm the pastor of Bellevue Baptist. Because when those people showed up and all those parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and all the people that came on family night, did we have some fun that night? Oh, yeah. Lily had, I think, the most fun because she got to mix up this slime. I don't know. I've never seen slime with oatmeal in it, but that's another story for another day. We had a blast. But what I saw was exactly what I had envisioned, is that our people were working together. And whatever it took to get it done, that's what happened. And God gets all the glory for that. But we impacted many, many lives in 1 week. If we could do it, we could have VBS every week, but we can't do that. But what we can do is minister to those that come in the door. Ask yourself this question. What kind of insights is God giving you? As you open up his word, and I pray that you do every single day, and you read through scripture, what is God saying to you in those scripture verses? because he wants to speak to you. He wants you to listen to him. And what kind of insights is he giving you about your life and your purpose? What eternal things are you investing in? We need to invest in our children. I talked to Charles Shirey the other day. We were kind of recapping some things that happened in Suriname. And we were talking about next year's trip. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, are we going to go to the schools next year? And he goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. And we did VBS, basically, at the schools. We told stories and we did crafts with them. And this is what he said. He said, you're investing in the future generation. Because they are the ones that are receiving the gospel when we go into the school. And if we can get them at a young age, we can save them from a whole bunch of heartache. And we can advance the gospel there. What kind of insights has God given you? Whatever those are, know this. That God wants you to succeed. That God's the author of those things that are for his kingdom. And how will God use you? And what kind of insight is he giving you as you read his word? Because he speaks to us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. Are you being obedient to what God has given you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And today, Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for all that you're doing in and amongst us. Father, today I give you praise for your church, for it is the people that make up the church. And I'm thankful today for your people, Father. I'm thankful of how hard they worked this past week to bring the gospel to young people. I'm thankful, Father, that we got to have conversations with them about the gospel. I'm thankful, Father, for those that came and worked and showed God's love to a community. Father, today I give you thanks and I give you praise and I give you glory for all the things that you're doing and working in those kids' lives and working in their moms and their dads and their grandparents and their aunts and their uncles and their friends. I'm thankful for a church that's willing to spend money for the gospel. And so, God, I pray that you provide everything we need for VBS this past VBS. I thank you, Father, that we have facilities, and I thank you that we have people, and I thank you, Father, that we have an atmosphere that is just inviting to people. And so, Father, today I pray for that one person that's here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. May today be the day that you would open their eyes. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring conviction and you would show them that they're in need of a Savior. And Father, what better day to be saved than on Sunday morning? You come and we'll open up the Bible and we'll spend whatever time is necessary to explain the gospel to you so that you can make a decision about Jesus and who he is. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Brother Gill, there's been a time when I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I've never been baptized because baptism always, always, always follows salvation. And maybe that's you today. And the enemy is creating fear in your heart right now. Because you know what you need to do. You know you need to be obedient. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And he will convict you and convict you and convict you and make you miserable because you're not being obedient. You come and we'll explain to you about baptism, what it really means. And why it's so important to take that step. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I've been coming for a while and I want to be part of this church. I want to go to work. I'm over 18, but I'm not a member. And I want to become a member so I can go to work for God's kingdom. We welcome you and we'll explain to you what it means to be a church member. Maybe you came here today and you were empty, like you were running on fumes. I get it. Life is tough. It's not a fairy tale When you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, it's not that you live happily ever after, because life is tough. And maybe you're here today and you're depressed. I get it. Maybe you're here today and you're anxious. Don't quite understand all of that, but I'm empathetic towards it. Maybe you came here today and you're still grieving over the loss of someone. It's okay. It takes time. I pray that God would just heal your heart, heal that spot. Not that you would forget anything about that person, but that you would be healed and be in a healthy place. Maybe you came here today and you felt like you didn't have any friends. Been there too. Maybe you're here and you just don't know if you can make it another day. Let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. Whatever the case may be, I pray in these next few moments that you just make a decision about what God is talking to you about right now. He's speaking loudly. And whatever that is, you come and we'll work through it. And we'll walk side by side, whatever it takes. Father, today I pray that you would move among us. I pray, Father, that you would allow us to worship you in this next few moments. Just sing with all of our heart. So today, Father, I pray that you would just move. We'll give you thanks and praise and glory and honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.